I want to bring a message that the Lord spoke to me, and very clear, and it was called Blessing God's Hearts.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
All right. Would you pray together with me? Lord, thank you so much for all of these things, plus the many others that we have not been able to share today, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Not just because it's Thanksgiving month, but because we choose to thank you. And so, Father, today, I'm going to ask that you would just let this word just penetrate our hearts and just continue to let us grow and continue to let us to become the sons and daughters that you've called us to be. And we'll give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name, God's people say amen. Amen and amen. This morning, I want to bring a message that the Lord spoke to me, and very clear, and it was called Blessing God's Heart. Blessing God's Heart. Now, so many of us were used to this whole thing of someone blessing us, and I talked about that a little earlier, and particularly in the South, whenever somebody does something, they'll say, bless your heart, right? Or bless your heart. Huh? Now, some say, bless your pea-picking heart, you know? And I'm not sure where that came from, but we want to be able to bless the heart of God. Now, we have to understand that God has a heart. Some people don't get this, they don't understand. They say, we have a heart and we have feelings and we have all these things. But the scriptures are very clear, and I want to go there. Would you start together with me in 1 Samuel? And we're going to be covering some scripture today, but 1 Samuel is where we're going to start off in chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we'll start with verse 11. Now, this is the setting of King Saul. How many remember him? King Saul had been anointed to be the king, and yet King Saul did not have a heart after God. And so Samuel now is where we pick this up in verse 11. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I. Now here's Saul's big problem. Therefore said I. Now, when you get that mixed up, and it is supposed to be what does God say, and yet you say, well, this is what I think. How many of you have ever said, I think? So Saul says to Samuel, this is what I thought. The Philistines will come down upon me now to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Now, for those of you not understand this story, King Saul was not a priest. He was not to do an offering. He was not to offer an offering. He was to wait for Samuel to come before any offerings were done. But yet, he says, I forced myself to do it. How many of you, someone told me the other day, I asked them why they did something. They said, well, I don't know. The devil made me do it. And we can use those excuses all that we want, that the devil made me do it. Or I was forced into doing something that God says that I shouldn't do. But we all have a choice, don't we? We all have that choice. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now would the Lord have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, And the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you. So I want you to see in particular here what Samuel said. Samuel said, the Lord has sought a man after his own heart. So here by this passage of Scripture, and what we also find out that the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13, if you turn over there with me, Acts chapter 13 in verse 20. And after that, he gave unto them judges. About the space of 400, Paul was preaching here, right? And afterwards, they desired a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Cis, or Kish, a man after the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. A man after my own heart. So God has been established that God has a heart. Now think about this. In the beginning, God created man in his own image, right? In the image of God, he created him male and female. So we have hearts, and we feel, when you talk about the heart, what would you say your heart is? I'm not talking about the physical heart, okay? That's a whole separate thing. But what would you say is your heart? Somebody. Got awful quiet in here. Landon. Your actions, okay, what?
Feelings.
Your feelings. Okay, that part of you of who you really are and what makes you tick, right? So God has that same heart. And we're going to look into this, and this probably will become a part series here because there's so much to cover. What we're actually going to be looking into is what is God's heart? And knowing the heart of God and what blesses the heart of God. How many of you like to bless others? All right, so what's the first rule when you're going to bless someone else? Huh?
Don't tell anybody.
Don't. Well, we're not going to tell anybody, but we need to find out what is going to be a blessing to them. For an example, if you came to me and you said, on Pastor Appreciation Day, Pastor, we are so appreciative of you that we have given you an all-expense-paid trip in Minneapolis, and you can visit every store in that mall.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're not talking about law. You come to bless me. Okay? All right, forget about all the teaching that I gave you before on that. Okay? Just, you're going to bless me, but you're going to give me a trip to the mall. Is that going to bless me? Right? So the first rule is that you've got to know what the heart of the individual is that you're going to bless. What are you going to do if you're going to bless me? Huh? Fishing stuff, right? You give me an all-expense-paid trip to David and I. We're going to go together. She can pay for him, too, to Alaska, right? And we're going to go out and catch these big old flounders there, right? Okay. Go to the cannoli store, right? Give me an all-expense-paid trip to Gene's house for dinner and dessert, right? But you got to know what the heart of the individual is so that you can bless them. Because it's not going to be a blessing on the all-expense-paid to Minneapolis, right? to Minnesota for that mall there. Laura says, go ahead and give it, because he's going to give it to me, right? And that will bless her heart. But everybody knows that that's a rule, that if you want to be a blessing, you've got to know the heart. Same thing. If you want to be a blessing to God, you have to know His heart. You have to know what He's all about. You have to know what actually gives Him pleasure, what actually gives Him something that He can sit back and say, wow, I am blessed. And some people say, what do you mean bless God? I mean, He's God. How can I bless God? We're going to be studying that in the next few moments, right? In today's message, and probably the next week or so, I don't know how long that will go, but we're going to bless God, and we're going to learn what His heart is. But I want you to notice in particular that verse that we just read there, that last one, when He removed him, He raised up David to be their king, to whom also He gave testimony and said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And I want you to look at these last few words, which shall fulfill all my will. So again, that is the qualifier there for making God's heart glad, that you will fulfill all of His will. So in order for you to fulfill His will, do you think you need to know what His will is? Absolutely. You need to know what it is in order to please God. And so we're going to be talking about this and looking at, in order to bless God's heart, we have to know His will. And then secondly, not only knowing His will, but we have to do His will. I can still remember years ago sitting in one of these back chairs here, and Pastor Aaron said to me, do you believe I'm called to the ministry? And I said, yes, I believe you're called to the ministry. And he said, I was afraid you were going to say that. Because that's the same thing I was feeling. Now, at that particular moment, he knew the will of God for the rest of his life. But there's a choice to make, isn't there? I can know the will of God, I can know His heart in a matter, but yet not do it. Is that pleasing to God? Because there's many of us that we know the will of God, especially for our lives. We've heard it, it has been confirmed to us, but yet we don't do the will of God. James chapter 1, if you turn over there with me. And again, I haven't preached out of James for a while, and I want to talk about James chapter 1. In verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In other words, we need to listen to what God's heart is. We need to hear what God is saying to us. Wherefore, verse 21, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive the meekness and engrafted word which is able to save your souls, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at himself, his natural face in the glass. He looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. So we have to know the heart of God and then do the will of God after we know it in order to please God's heart. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some things that actually bless God. Give Him what He desires. We're going to be looking into that. And we're going to be looking into some things that don't bless His heart. Because there are things that bless my heart, and then there are things that don't bless my heart. The things that bless my heart is when I see, out of the fruit of the labor that I have done within the ministry, and I see folks serving God, I see folks just blossoming in their ministries, and I see Melissa's out there. She's bringing the Word of God, even despite issues and hurts that are going on. She's bringing the Word of God. That blesses me. And to see all of you that do the exact same thing. But it also hurts my heart when there is an investment that is made in the Word of God and with time within individuals, and they walk away from the things of God and do their own thing. That doesn't bless my heart. That hurts my heart deeply. So it is with God, and so it is on how He feels. So we're going to be talking about these things in the next few weeks. And I want you to know, how many of you would say that I want to bless God's heart? Come on, raise your hand if you say, I want to bless God's heart. Now, the next question might be, how many of you feel like you have blessed God's heart? Interesting question, huh? And some of you are saying, is this a trick question? It really isn't a trick question. It's because, am I doing God's heart? Am I doing His will? Am I pleasing Him? Am I seeking Him? Now remember, what kind of a man was David? He was a man after God's heart. Wait a minute. You mean the adulterer? You mean the one that disobeyed God on many occasions? Let's think about the man David here. Saul's after him. He goes to the enemy's camp. And he says, I'll work for you. And we see all these things. We see he's an adulterer. Then he turns around and he has Uriah murdered. He's a man after God's own heart? Really? Some people hear that, and especially some unbelievers, they hear that and they say, what are you talking about? Look at the guy. Look at what he did. What made David a man after God's own heart? Somebody tell me. Repentance is what made David a man after God's own heart. And we're going to be talking about that here in just a little bit. But I want to talk about some things ahead of time, because I have, in my own heart, have tried to categorize these things on the basis of where they fall in and what blesses God's heart. And I want to start number one with, it blesses God's heart when we glorify Him. Okay? When we glorify God, it blesses His heart. Go with me, and we're going to spend a little bit of time back in the Old Testament, Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah, and we're going to pick this up, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. All right, what do we know here? God delights in what things, folks? What things does God delight in here according to this? Thank you. Loving kindness, judgment, righteousness. Loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, says the Lord, that I delight in these kinds of things. And therefore, we bless God when we acknowledge Him as chief authority in our lives. Did you hear what I said? Chief authority in our lives. God is well pleased when we give Him rightful place of numero uno in our lives. He must be first in our lives. No matter what is happening, no matter what is going on the scene, He is blessed when we put Him first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. So it truly blesses God's heart when we acknowledge Him as that great authority in our lives, and we understand Him and we know Him. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he's speaking to the Philippian church, in his letter to him, he says, that I might know Him. I want to know Him. Why? Because that pleases God. God desires the relationship with us. Some people are afraid of God. They don't want to approach His throne. They don't want to get to know Him. Now, there is a difference between, you know, some people refer to God. They say, well, the man upstairs. That He is not the man upstairs. That is a very derogatory statement towards our God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one that is in charge of all things on this earth. Sister D said, He created the earth. He can do all things. We will glorify Him. Glorification means that we put Him first in His place of who He is. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Psalm 103. And I'm going to stay here for just a little bit. This sermon is called Blessing God's Heart. And have you ever wondered about this when the psalmist said in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Okay? In other words, we're glorifying Him first. Bless the Lord. And some people still have a hard time. How can I bless God? By my heart, recognizing who He is. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity. He heals all of your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness. There's that word again that God takes pleasure in, and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfies the spiritual mouth. How many of you got a spiritual mouth? How many of you are hungry for the things of God? How many of you want to know more of this God that you serve? That's what God's heart is blessed with when we want to know Him. When we place every single thing that's in our lives in His hands and say, God, I want to know You. You know, I believe it blesses the heart of God, even in little things that you don't know how to do or cannot see happening. I'll just share an example. I shared this with them on Wednesday night. I tore a commode apart the other day. And this commode was about 20 years old. And there are things called tank bolts that hold that top tank to the bottom. Those bolts had been in there for so long that I actually had to cut the bolts off. They wouldn't unscrew because that was all rusted. But I've never seen anything like this before. The bolt was actually rusted into the tank itself and would not come out. Now, how many of you know that's a ceramic tank? So you don't beat on it with a hammer, right? To try to get it out. This thing was so molded in there that it was not coming out. And I said, Lord, I don't want to buy another commode. Because everything's expensive nowadays. I already bought one. I don't want to buy another one. I said, Lord, please help get this boat out. So I had this little tiny little pick thing and a little hammer. And every time I tapped it, I said, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I must have said that 50 times. But on 51, that boat came out of there without breaking the tank. You see, it blesses God's heart when you ask Him and you say, God, I'm going to put you first. I need you in all things. In all things, and He will help you. Psalm 105, if you turn over just a page over in Psalm 105, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make His deeds known among the people. What were we doing today in our Thank Fest? Making His deeds, what He has done, known to everybody else. Sing to Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk you of His wonderful works. Glory you in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders and His judgments of His mouth. That blesses God whenever you remember what God has done. And you give Him thanks for it in all things. There might be people out there that say, you're crazy. You're crazy that you're sharing all these things that God has done for you. But as far as God is concerned, you are blessing His heart. Come on, clap. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. Because He is worthy of our praise. He has done everything for us. Somebody say amen. Hmm. Well, I wanted to start out with that because that's number one. That blesses His heart more than anything else when we glorify Him, when we put Him first. Number two, and I'm only going to cover three of them today. Is that okay with you? Gene, is that okay with you? Or would you rather have five or six? No. Okay. She said, I've got a pad over here, but that five or six might go a little too long. Yeah. Number two, here's really important here. This will bless the heart of God, humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves before God. This goes to a little book that some of you have seen before in the book of Micah. Micah chapter 6. Start with verse 7. We always go to verse 8, but I want to start with verse 7 here. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of your offerings of rams or thousands of rivers of oil? You know what that's talking about? You know how many people, all they want to do is throw money at God. Like that is going to make Him happy. God will be happy with me if I just throw all kinds of money at Him. God will be happy with me. I see a need out there that's right in front of me, but yet I take it and I go to the pastor and I say, hey, I saw this particular need. You know, here's some money. Go help them. Whose responsibility is it to help them? You see the need? You help. But God says, am I going to be happy? Are you going to please my heart by all of your thousands of your offerings that you're giving? You're throwing your money at me? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? He has showed you, O man, verse 8, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? You want to make God's heart happy? He has showed you, here it is, to do justly, right? To love mercy and to walk humbly before your God. It's not that difficult, is it? To do justly. What does it mean to do justly? Do the right thing. Come on now. Caleb, do you know what the right thing is to do in most situations? You know that. Abby, you know what the right thing is in most situations? We all know, right? To do the right thing. And some of us struggle with that and say, oh God, you know, I need to hear from you on this. You know, should I lie to someone or not? I mean, oh God, you know, I see this need over here. God, do I really need to meet that need? Or maybe you, oh yes, God, you're speaking to Pastor Aaron to meet that need. Yes, I hear that. No, come on, to do justly, to do the right thing, to love mercy. Mercy means that God, when He has mercy on you, He is not going to give you what you deserve for the thing that you did. So that means we all love that. We're like, yeah, I'm in for that. But yet when somebody does something to us, we want to jump right on that and say, you know what? You did the crime. You're going to pay the time. Pay up. When God says, no, no, no. It blesses my heart when you love mercy. You love being able to not give others what they deserve. When they've done you wrong. Some of us are cringing right now. That goes against my very nature. That's right, it goes against your flesh man. It goes against your very nature. Because you want to pay them back. And God says, no. Love mercy. Well, I will if I have to. I'm having mercy on you today. No, love mercy. Begin to enjoy giving people mercy. It's freeing. It really is. It will free you up. And then the last one, according to God's heart, to walk humbly before your God. Which is this whole point here. I need to walk humbly before my God. And what does it mean to walk humbly before my God? Come on, somebody, what does it mean? To walk humbly before my God. Know that He is greater than I am. Very good. To walk humbly before our God. Isaiah chapter 66. Told you we'd be scanning the scriptures today. Isaiah 66. Verse 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. And the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. I want to read that again. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word. How many of us tremble at the word of God? How many of us take the word of God and we humble ourselves under this word and say, His word is better than my word. I submit myself to His word, not my word, not what I feel, but what He feels and what He says. I want you to hear what God said through there. I am the one that created it all. I made everything. Who are we to stand up when things happen in our lives and say, stick my finger in God's face and say, why did you do this? Or why didn't you do this? What does God say? I am the one that created it all. And what I will look for is a man or woman that is a very poor and contrite spirit that will say, you are in charge. I humble myself under your authority. Because we all think we know better, don't we? We don't understand everything that happens in our lives, and we never will. We never will. But one thing that remains for sure is the God that we serve is still in charge. He has been in charge. He made it all. And he's looking for a contrite spirit. You know, I was humbled, and I spoke about this earlier, the bulletin board that was out there, and several times, you know, it said, our pastor, and they list all the things there about what her pastor is, and one of them was humble that she had put on that board. And really, I sat there and I looked at that and I said, oh God, am I? Am I humble and am I of a contrite spirit? And that's one thing that God is asking all of us. And you should ask yourself, am I? Or is it what I want? See, because it has to do with the humility that God, that blesses His heart when we humble ourselves before Him. And we bow ourselves before Him. You are God. The last one that I want to talk about that truly blesses the heart of God is repentance. David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he repented. Not that he didn't mess up. How many mess-ups do we have in here? Put both hands up, right? How many times have we messed up? Here's one thing that I do know, though. There's nothing that you can ever do that is beyond God's forgiveness. If you will repent. See, here's the heart of repentance. And we're seeing the heart of God because we need to know what God's heart is in order to bless Him, right? Ezekiel is where I want you to go to next. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. The soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all of his sins that he has committed, and keep all of my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All of his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. Somebody say amen. Amen. And in his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. I want you to hear verse 23, because this is the heart of God. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Now, how many of us might have pleasure in seeing wicked people die? Come on now. And when I speak this, several of us think of individuals and they are wicked. They do not serve God. They are wicked. And sometimes in our heart, we would say, God, just take them. Get them off of this planet. But that's not the heart of God. And God will never hear a prayer like that. He will never, because we know according to His word, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord? Why? Because where are they going? And it is not in the Lord's heart that any should perish. I want you to understand the heart of God. And not that he should return from his old ways and live. This is the heart of God here. Turn over. Or it might be in the same page for you, but the same chapter, verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. Turn yourselves and live. It is no greater thing in God's heart that a man repent from his sins, or a woman repent for their sins. Listen, and for those that say, oh, well, I got saved and, you know, God forgave all my sins, past, present, and future, therefore I don't need to ask him to forgive me of anything. All of us, at all points in our lives, need to ask forgiveness. I don't care whether you've been a Christian for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Do we still sin?
Yes.
Repentance is part of God's heart that pleases him more than anything. And some of you say, well, I'm pleasing him a lot, right? Praise God. Praise God. If you need to come before his throne and continue to ask forgiveness, that's great. But I do have a qualifier here, because what is repentance? Some people just keep coming before God, asking him and saying, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? That you got caught in doing that? Or are you truly repenting? Because sorry doesn't make God's heart glad. It gives him no pleasure when you come and say you're sorry. What gives him pleasure is repentance, which means that you are turning from your wicked ways. And you are not, well, you know, God, I'm sorry I did this. Okay, I'm clean now. I did all my cleaning stuff. Now I'm going to go back out and do it again. Because God will forgive me again. Let's clean up again. I'm going to go do it again because I like doing it. That's not repentance. That does not bring God's heart any joy. And it does not bless his heart at all when we do that. Because it is turning 180 degrees to the opposite way and going the direction that God has asked. Remember Micah 6:8. Justly, righteously, loving mercy, walking humbly before our God. Because the alternative is to just saying you're sorry is found over there in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, where God says, I have found you to be lukewarm, and I will spew you out of my mouth. Because when God's heart is sick, he throws up. So sorry isn't going to get it. Repentance does. Because we can just say we're sorry all the time. Caleb, you ever said you're sorry? Ab? Yeah? Lee? Rick? We feel pretty good about ourselves if we say we're sorry. But if we keep doing the same thing, that's not repentance. So God's heart is change, change, change. Jesus knows our struggles, but he helps us. He helps us in this whole forgiveness thing. As we close out here on this, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. The writer of Hebrews said, for we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, we have a Savior that knows our weaknesses. He knows where we're at. And he knows the struggles that we have. But it blesses his heart when we will come and bring those struggles to him. You know how many times people try to hide things from God? Seriously, you're going to hide something from God. So we just ignore it by not bringing it to him. But it's not like he doesn't see it. He says, if you will bring it to me, you say, I'm struggling with this, God. Help me as I come before your throne boldly. Help me in my time of need here because I truly do want to repent and turn 180 degrees in the opposite direction because I want to please you. God sees that heart. God will see that heart and that blesses his heart. So do we desire to bless God's heart? Or, on the opposite, do we desire to bring pain to God's heart? I choose that I want God's heart to be blessed by us. And one of the things that I often say prior to the service is I'm in my office. Usually I get down before God and I just seek him and I say, God, may everything that we do bless you today. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable unto you. We want him to be blessed. He's Creator God. Every day he gives us a breath. He gives us the life that we live until we are taken from this earth to our eternal home. Amen. So let's bless the name of the Lord, blessing God's heart today. How many of you, just out of response to this, you say, God, I want to bless your heart. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Again, Lord, we want to tremble at your word. Let us not take this word for granted because every time we get to get in it and get to hear your heart, we're blessed, God. And forgive us. God, forgive us of our sin against you. We want to bless your heart, God. So help us. Holy Spirit, help us to do that. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.